So as I mentioned, this is where the state police, this is their office. Our roadway is where they work. We're making special accommodations for them, and we did coordinate with them. I mean, obviously, if we're using the shoulder, then that's one of the locations where they typically will be, you know, doing enforcement. We're building in some special crash investigation sites. You'll see that on this slide, where we're actually adding some additional room on the outside of our roadway, primarily at most of the interchanges, so that they can, you know, direct traffic to that point and then conduct business there. Also within the median, there will be sections where we will offset the center concrete median barrier so that a trooper could be stationed within the median, and it wouldn't necessarily have a direct impact on bus travel or shoulder usage in that area either. This slide is the cost evaluation of it. We estimate right now $17.84 million to build the gantries that we'll need between Barrington and Kennedy. There will be some additional maintenance costs associated with that. Most of the maintenance costs is associated with doing inspection and repairs. So at the beginning, when the system's brand new, we don't expect it to be this high. And the system is modular, so that, you know, these signs or these dynamic message boards will be able to be removed easily and replaced easily. There will come with some additional operations costs. Right now, our traffic center, or our TIM center, operates 5 days a week from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. We do operate it on holidays. We do operate it on during snow events full time. So we would want to expand that service so that it is full 24-hour coverage, 7 days a week, so that they could monitor this active management area. If this is something that the tollway does realize benefits on and we want to pursue in other corridors, it wouldn't necessarily cause a big increase in the operational cost, but we do need somebody to be in the traffic center 24 hours a day. There will be a slight offset to those additional maintenance and operation costs. Right now, one of the maintenance tasks in any garages, you know, patrol the system, where they actually are out there looking for incidents or looking for things that are happening out there. So we would be able to rededicate, you know, that staff to doing other, you know, activities that would be more beneficial for them rather than just driving up and down looking for things.
Yeah, and if I'm right, it's more than a slight offset if both of those estimates turned out to be accurate. You're really talking then about around $225,000 operational.
So I'm saying it's a partial offset, right? Because I don't.
Just what the 757 is already inclusive of the 532.
No.
It's against the 757.
Yes.
Right.
But what I don't want to say is I have no plans to reduce the maintenance staff or to, reduced number of vehicles or people that we have out there working
right
on the road. It's just that they won't necessarily have to just be assigned to patrolling the
system. I see what you're saying. They'd be reallocated in terms of functions.
Yes.
Well, they'd be more efficient. You're going to be able to get to stranded motors quicker and everything else.
Absolutely.
They will, you know, recognize where they're at. Plus, then have a lane dedicated to get safety people to them. So is there a curiosity again, traffic study estimate to what this translates into an additional traffic flow, allowing more traffic on? It's the equivalent of saving us having to build another lane, you know, or...
So we haven't run the cost numbers on that, but this next slide, it does show you some of the items that, you know, you could start to try to assign costs to.
Oh.
And so we talked about improving mobility. I would never say that.
So you've helped us make a nice transition.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah,
you just changed the slide.
It's almost as if you looked at the slides in advance.
So mobility, 3 to 22% increase in overall capacity. That's based on what Europe is experiencing. Enhancing roadway safety, we're seeing 3 to 30% decrease in the primary incidents. This is also another important point here, 40 to 50% decrease in the secondary incidents. And the secondary ones are typically the ones that are more severe because they're approaching completely stopped traffic. And it's given us the opportunity to facilitate transit within this corridor and provide them with reliable travel times.
think it's a
great answer.
The flexibility that we can guarantee. We truly can't, as the director said, we can't add more lanes out here. There is no room. And there's utilities, there's homes, there's. We're
it would be
out.
Pretty painful, let's put it that way. There's always probably a way, but the cost and disruption to people's homes and businesses would be significant.
It gives us a lot of flexibility to manage how we can. Five lanes of traffic in the community, so you're just going to get that additional.
So yeah, I like the idea of getting the most out of our investment. It's a significant investment that we're making, widening and rebuilding it, and this gives us the ability to get the most out of it.
Total cost was what, 17?
17.8.
And we did accommodate in our planning some additional funding for the smart corridor, right, and the partnership with PACE, and knowing that we were going to have some of these features, you know, this is, I think, the recommendation that you're that we're coming to you with, you know, as we've been planning it out, but this was not unanticipated, right?
Well, if you put a value on getting anywhere near those goals that Europe is seeing,
absolutely.
Then it's well worth the investment.
And, well, and PACE also has received a federal grant to expand their service, so they are, it's not just they're taking existing buses, they're acquiring new buses just to run dedicated service along this corridor. So, if, you know, a $38 million grant is what they have to support what's happening here for the park and ride facilities, for the new buses, and some of the ramps as well.
Is there any reason we wouldn't anticipate the kind of levels of success we've seen on 355?
You mean on I-55?
I-55, I'm sorry.
I would say we could see a little bit something better. 55 was kind of a retrofit, squeezing something into an existing scenario where we're building it in. The lanes that we're building are 17 and a half foot wide as opposed to, I think, a 12 or 14 foot wide lane out there. So you could, you know, theoretically have a better speed along the.
We should share with the members some of the, and I think you've seen them before, but just a refresher, and I don't think we have them in here, but the configuration of like the Barrington Road interchange, where it really shows how that bus service is going to be so integrated into. You know, easy for people to come, park, get to the bus, and get on the bus pretty seamlessly, and the bus transitioning on and off the roadway pretty easily, too. So we'll make sure that you have those updates. I think you've probably seen them before, but it is pretty amazing what that PACE bus service is going to look like on this corridor.
Does PACE and will this facility have that, I pay for my son's, but I don't know what the name is, Ventra car system? Is that going to be there? So they can.
PACE is a partner together on that.
So
the only difference between this corridor and 55 really is you do have, you're going to have to disembark at Cumberland, where with 55 you're on one bus all the way till the.
Well, at this point, that's their planning. It, you know, that though also I think has the ability to change as the need changes or as their, you know, experience changes. But that was in the last conversations we had. You know, part of the planning seemed to be there would be to get all the way downtown. There would be some type of transition typically. So.
But do it at a multimodal connection point, which exists right by O'Hare there.
And not all the PACE buses stop at River Road or Cumberland. Some of them would go in a little further, I know, to at least Jefferson Park.
I think 55, it kind of operates in a passive manner right now. The bus drivers, they have to make a decision whether or not they want to bump out into the shoulder. So we like our system as a little bit more of the next step, where we will actively be able to open that lane and close that lane when we want to.
Well, and because it's being planned to be accommodated, I mean, again, the integration of the stations and buses being able to get in and off, in and out of, or on and off the system quickly to pick up passengers and keep going or what have you, it's just going to be a different, a little bit different level of service, I think, on I-90. But, of course, just the benefits of even that, the model used on I-55 have been tremendous for transit usage there.
PACE is definitely excited about this opportunity.
The other thing, bus on I-90, they'll be able to travel at road speed as opposed to I-55, where the limit's around 35 miles an hour.
Yeah, right now, I think the rule on 55 is they can only travel how much faster than the?
I think 15 miles an hour faster than.
So they can't use the lane unless when traffic dips below 35 miles per hour is the only time that the lane is actually available for PACE.
Oh, really?
So traffic has to be at a pretty slow moving before they could train, go into that lane, and there's a 15-mile differential.
And our inside shoulder is designed for 60?
Yes.
So.
But that's due to the flexibility in the overall wider lane that we have. 17.5 foot is a significant lane width.
55 still has bridge issues.
Yeah, like Rocco said, it was a retrofit, so they did the best they could with what they had out there.
I think the next, we have a short video, which I... Slide. This is the overall vision, and these are the different elements that are incorporated in it. And you'll see there's cameras are incorporated on these gantries. We also have traffic center sensors. In that median, that concrete wall in the middle of this picture, we have a cutaway to show you how we're going to accommodate these additional conduits for the communications. Lines and power, and then we have ITS elements on the outside, and we also have some equipment shelters to house the controllers for the system so that they're not exposed to the elements. And really what this active traffic management system is going to do, it's going to help us bridge the gap between where we're at right now and some of these emerging technologies that you might have read about recently. Where vehicles are going to be able to communicate to other vehicles, or vehicles are going to be able to communicate to infrastructure. We wanted to build in enough communications aspects in our system so that if those things come along, we're able to take advantage of that, you know, without completely rebuilding the corridor, tearing out the center meeting, and putting in additional duct banks.
In addition to fiber that you make available for tollway purposes, I-90 is, are we putting either conduit and or fiber in that conduit as part of this project to be able to make available or lease to other parties?
That's standard right now, because we have full fiber coverage for the whole system, all 286 miles. And that is an aspect of that fiber optic contract where we know we have additional capacity in there, and they do engage private folks to share in it, and when they do, they give us revenue for that, and also they have to pay for any future work that's done on it. So it is working right now that way.
Mm-hmm. About, do you have any idea about how much fiber, how many strands of fiber would be typically goes into this thing?
Anyone?
I'm not sure.
We'll have to get you that.
There's extra, there's certainly significant extra
sure
capacity.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I think there's 96.
We'll get that answer for you.
And the last slide is, it just tells you where we're at. And right now, we'd like to get your feedback and input. And we plan on finalizing this gantry design very shortly here. We're going to be building this portion of I-90 in 2015 and 2016. And then hopefully we're going to be using this system, you know, after we get done with the construction work in late 2016.
What you've built already, you've integrated some ability to add this on, you're saying?
All
or you will?
The section that we have built already, which is basically from the Elgin Toll Plaza to the west, we don't see a big need for it right now because it doesn't, it's not carrying that high volume of traffic.
Right.
There is, we have incorporated certain things in that corridor, like reliable power system. That was one of the construction contracts I think I brought to the board last month or the month before that. And, you know, we are installing fiber out there. I don't know.
The roadway width, I mean, that's the important thing, is having that physical footprint of the roadway, the 17 and a half foot shoulder is continuous all the way through Rockford.
And no footings put
the
in.
Footings
in or anything
and
like that.
And the conduit's all in there.
And the foundation.
So it's just a matter of putting footings in the gantries later, and you have the ability to plug into the existing conduit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the reliable power's over there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But that long-term traffic, that we don't see that as the an area where we see a lot of congestion, especially with what we're putting in.
And this this section that we're recommending right now is really going to be a pilot. You know, we want to see how it's going to work. We want to see if we start, you know, deriving these benefits.
If you see a immediate, I mean, how far along will the Elgin River be?
That has work scheduled throughout its whole the whole the
program.
Illinois program.
So whether we would incorporate this on the Elgin O'Hare,
being a new road.
Yeah.
We will have the footprint on Elgin O'Hare for something like this. You know, you'll have that expandable shoulder, I guess, if you will.
Well, we can certainly take a look at that, you know, what it would take to, you know, how much of a change that would be to accommodate at least the infrastructure to allow us to do it. I think a lot of it will be there, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So
later,
seeing that you are going to basically to O'Hare, and if there was ever a Western Terminal built, center traffic lanes as well for bus or mass transit?
We've preserved, I think, the median there, that it could be expanded into the inside, but because there wasn't any immediate indication that the services would be expanding, but we did, you know, provide at least, I think, the footprint to accommodate it later, but it would require, I think, an expansion, right?
The center lanes are being built to the capacity to handle it if need be already.
There's
a space in the middle.
There's a median area, open space.
I'm at the actual.
And the shoulders.
Road foundation itself.
The roadway, no, we're not.
The system across, we're not.
We are building it, it's three lanes in each direction.
Correct.
With
a wide shoulder. For
but not necessarily bus. A full expanded median to accommodate buses. although the work that we are doing isn't going to prohibit that from being implemented. It's just not included in the original initial phase. I think
it was the one of the things that, you know, that's how you get from $5.8 billion to $3.4
billion. So. You can always come back.
Yeah.
Later in the Move Illinois program, we are going to be rebuilding the Central Tri-State. And that's like from 95th Street up to Belmore. Mm-hmm. That is the most heaviest travel portion of our system right now. And this would be a type of system which could help us get the most out of that section, especially since it's not scheduled to be widened. I mean, we're at a max.
Do you have feedback on how well this worked?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So does this look like a good use of those, you know, 17, I think, $0.8 million to you? Do you understand the need?
I know, working in government myself, I think there's, you can never go wrong keeping your taxpayers, toll payers, customers, however you want to look at it, can never go wrong keeping them well informed.
Yeah.
And it's always helpful and it's typically appreciated. So I think it's an excellent program.
I think we're just hedging our bet on expanded traffic. This is giving us the ability to handle capacity as well. It's not the $17 million isn't a lot of money, but it is compared to what you'd have to do to later on to retrofit, because you need to do it. Costs a lot more. It's smart
yeah.
dollars.
And when you think about the inefficiencies and even the accidents that you eliminate from the system there, it's a big deal.
Yes. Yeah. So I want to just thank, you know, everyone who worked on this. I know there was a lot of work that went into it, and I think some healthy discussions, you know, internally here about how the resources were best spent, and I think this is a nice balance of not, you know, over-investing beyond what's needed, but also making sure that we can grow, you know, as necessary. So you guys did a nice job.
Yes. I appreciate the presentation. Okay. We have no unfinished business on the agenda. Is there any new business at this time? If not, moving on, there is no need for an executive session, in my understanding. Therefore, if there's no other business coming before us today, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion made.
We have a motion. Second. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Very good. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Yeah, you're here.
All right. And let me send wishes of your speedy return. And do we need to send you a care package or anything?
Thank you. Actually, just made it to the loop.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you very much for having us.
Back in God's country here. Good.
Right.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Just in time for the freezing rain that's going to be coming in tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
Good.
One and all. I appreciate it.
Thank you.